Hey everyone, thank you for joining us for another episode of The Mayor's Table. With me today will be Farmington Electric Utility Director Hank Adair. This is not a rerun. It is our mission to keep you apprised of what is happening with your local electric utility, and we just kindly ask that you take this information and share it as broadly as you can. This is impacting all of our lives, so stay tuned for an important episode. Hey everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett, thank you for joining us today for, I'm going to call it a special edition. Hank, you've been here a lot recently for some very important reasons, but thank you for joining us at the Mayor's Table. With me today, Hank Adair, the Director of the Farmington Electric Utility Service, our local electrical company that helps take care of keeping all the power on in this area. Hank, we've had a bunch of things take place since you were here a month ago.
Just a month ago.
Enough so that I thought it was important to bring you on and discuss kind of what's taking shape now and what our electric ratepayers can kind of see coming down the line. So thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
So on social media, we have posted a memo regarding Farmington Electric Utilities' power cost adjustment increase, which will be effective March 10th of this year. This is occurring, and what a power cost adjustment is, Hank, and I'll kind of let you get into that, but essentially, our utilities happen to respond to the absolute skyrocketing costs of natural gas.
Unprecedented
that we paid for in the month of January. Well, really, December and January, and even the price that we're seeing now here in February.
Even into February, double digits.
So we have to respond to those moments, and unfortunately, the response to those things requires us as ratepayers to pay more. But I wanted to let you come on today, talk about what that looks like. What is a power cost adjustment that we're going to see the PCA on our bill, and why?
So what our power cost adjustment is, it's a little bit different than rate design, and when we do rate changes, right, we'll bring that to City Council. What PCA, or power cost adjustment, is it's a direct pass-through for the commodities we have to generate electricity, the maintenance costs that could happen on what we use to generate electricity, and basically purchase power costs for the power we have to buy above and beyond what we make. And so that can get very volatile quick, and so the PCA can be adjusted up or it can be adjusted down quickly to adjust what market conditions are. And I would say that's a direct pass-through. It's not something we're adding on to. We're not trying to make a profit on it. We're just trying to pass on the costs as we see them, that the utility's seeing every day. And these last 3 months, my goodness.
So I like the way that you frame that in the component that when we design rates to address the costs associated with running an electric utility. Mm-hmm. So the base rates that we see on our bill are built around this idea that we're going to pay X amount of money for natural gas, for example. We're going to be able to generate X megawatt hours of our own power. We're going to have to buy X megawatts of other power, and then we're going to have to pay labor, we're going to have to pay maintenance, we're going to have to pay all of that component, and that's where the rate comes in.
Yeah, and as well as all the wires, the substations, and everything to get it to your home.
The power cost adjustment exists because in situations like we're dealing with now, where things that were not anticipated could not be foreseen in the costs for the natural gas, for example, that we're talking about today, we have to be able to react.
Exactly.
And historically speaking, we talked about this last time you were here on the show, we've been able to purchase power and generate our own power for what we deemed $45, $50 per megawatt hour.
Pretty much per megawatt hour, yes, sir.
And we're going to get into what megawatt hour means, because I know that's a that's a really good, you know, we use that term a lot when we're talking about utility, but that $40, $50 megawatt hour in the month of January, when we had to purchase natural gas at $32.97 per MMBTU, equated to $300 per megawatt hour.
To generate our own electricity with a plant we've already paid for, yes, sir.
$40 to $50 to $300 in a single month.
In 1 month, based on 1 day's pricing, right? The pricing for the whole month, correct.
That's another thing that I need to understand better is how that pricing for that one day determined what that whole month was going to be. But I know that may be outside the scope of today's episode. I do want us to talk about what that bill looked like for our electric utility, especially when we're budgeting. I think our budget's between $4 and $5 MMBTU for natural gas.
Yep, right at $4.
And then in 1 month we hit $32.97, which is eight times the budgeted amount for that month. What did that look like for us?
I mean, absolutely. Our annual budget, and people say, well, gas prices are going up. Well, why does electricity have to go up? Almost 50% of what we make to supply the households, the consumers, and our utility comes from gas generation. And frankly, it comes from one unit, our Bluffview unit. We call it our flagship unit or our biggest unit. And it can generate up to 63 megawatts. Again, I'm talking megawatts, sure, so let me define that. Yeah. So, you know, 63 megawatts of generation, but that's almost like a small city's home heating bills for everybody in a small city. So we buy gas, historically been very cheap on the market, and supply that to our consumers. So normally that's in the $2 million a month type of range. For our gas bill, based on the $32.97, which nobody in the utilities seen coming, nobody in the gas industry said, oh, $32.97 was going to happen in January. When that price hit, that bill was around $13 million for us, or something we hadn't budgeted for that was around over $10.8 million. And let me say, I hadn't budgeted for $10.8 million. We had done a PCA previously to get to 3 cents, and 3 cents per kilowatt hour per customer. And we had thought gas prices, we'd said, we'll even be conservative with that. We said, well, they'll be around $7 ranges, which was much higher than the past, seeing that the trend had come down. And then $32.97 came out of the blue. I can tell you the entire West has seen it. I've heard the other utilities having fourfold price increases, things like that. And even the governor from California and the United States Senator from California and others are asking FERC to investigate, how did these prices happen? So is there a market manipulation that happened in there? So we have never seen this in the history of the utility.
Yeah, I mean, these are really good questions to ask, because just looking at the history here, and by the way, this graph and information is available on the City of Farmington's Facebook page, social media pages, as well as the electric utility, I believe.
It is correct, yes, sir, on both sides.
So you can get this full information there. But yeah, we hit 1029 per MMBTU in December, and then it tripled. And I've pushed this idea, like, there was no shortage of gas. Mm-mm. And maybe it's good for people to understand too that the gas that comes out of the San Juan Basin goes to the West Coast.
It does.
And at the time that we were paying $32.97, other parts of the United States were paying $4.
Even $3, right?
So we were in a really, a perfect storm scenario, maybe, because I heard that storage was low, natural gas storage was low on the West Coast.
Yeah.
California finally got some snow. So everybody was heating their homes.
Yeah.
And that just put the demand on the supply. Oh, and there was a pipeline. I heard there was a pipeline issue as well.
There's a pipeline called the 2000 pipeline that also can supply gas into California that was not operating, which did have a slight effect on it. But really, it was storage, weather events. And then as the storage got lower, it's what people were concerned or what they were willing to pay for, which got extreme pricing that drove it into the market. But in the history of our gas agreements, as far back as I looked as 2008, we have come nowhere near that pricing. Somewhere in the $11 to $12 range, kind of like what we've seen in December. That's the highest we've ever seen in the last 14, 15 years.
So, Hank, when we're looking at what has occurred now, I mean, September 2022 was the last operating day for San Juan Generating Station. We've taken an entire energy resource completely out of the mix. There's no more coal associated with what we can generate ourselves. That accounted for 43 megawatts of power, about 40% of our average daily use.
About
20%.
Yeah, or 20,000 megawatt hours a month. So it's our normal month. Our entire utility system consumes about 80,000, 82,000 megawatt hours a month to supply our entire homes, businesses within our entire grid. And San Juan would make about 20,000, so about 25%.
So we've taken a very reliable, affordable power source that we know consistently it's about $40 to $50 per megawatt hour. We've taken that out of the mix.
Totally off the board.
And so now we have become completely dependent upon not completely, but for the most part, the natural gas market.
On the energy market, which is a lot driven by natural gas, Marin, it's not only San Juan site, right? There's other power plants. You know, Navajo went down years ago. Escalante here in New Mexico went down. There's other plants that have been shuttered. And as those coal resources have come off the board or off the grid, then gas has had to fill in as that dispatchable resource to buffer with renewables to get what's out there in the market. So as gas demands have went up, as coal has went down, gas is being consumed by those plants and by consumers, and that also exacerbates the price of gas. And then when gas gets exacerbated, then that drives up purchase power prices.
This is why, I've said it here on the show, I've said it with you, I've said it on the radio show. I mean, one of the most fundamental components of an elected official's duty should be to be an energy fiduciary for the people that they serve. I want to broker you the best deals I can with the most available energy resources that are out there to ensure that you're paying low costs, you have reliability. If one source goes down, we've got another source ready to come in, because I want to make sure that as Americans, mm-hmm. that we are upholding that solid effort that we put in to keep everything operational, running, and efficient.
Yeah,
and that seems to not be the case anymore, Hank.
I think it's energy is the fabric of our lives, I would say, and we're starting to see some unraveling at the edges.
And it wasn't because there weren't people out there rattling the cages saying, don't do this. You guys don't know what you're walking into. And I want to be an optimist, Hank, and I want to think this is just a blip in the radar. But as I look around, I don't see replacement power in the ground to replace all the coal-fired energy that has come off the grid. There's still this dedication to some groups that we should never be nuclear, which is, in my opinion, completely wrong. But this opens up these conversations about, mm-hmm. where are we going from here?
Yeah.
And I think we've touched on this in our last episode together, but how are we going to deal with this $12 million, $13 million bill that we got in 1 month? Because an electric utility, just like any other company who relies on, in this case, we rely on ratepayers to fund the operations of the utility so that everybody has power, clearly we can't sustain that type of hit. So
we can't.
What is the power cost adjustment? What is it going to do?
So right now, our power cost adjustment, prior to the announcement you just talked about and happening on March 10th, our power cost adjustment was at 3 cents. Based on the major hits we've seen, and literally unprecedented seeing gas prices, and that 10,100,000 I just talked about that wasn't planned for, additional cost for gas, the same thing rolled over into purchase power. Purchase power was $105 a megawatt hour because of gas prices in January. If you go back and you look at the graphs that we had even previously, if I was to look at January of last year, it was $58. So it went from $58 to $105. So what we have to do is really, we have no choice. We've already expended pretty much all of our cash reserves we could to buffer the effect to our customers, because we were seeing that. And we have a point where we have to hold where we're at for the restricted cash reserves we have now and build a little bit back to buffer for those what-if events. So basically, Mayor, our PCA will go from 3 cents to 6 cents March 10th. That will have about a $19.35 effect on the average residential customer. And if there was any other way we could see it, Mayor, we would do it. And so what we're managing right now, and I'll talk in the extreme short term, as we've seen this progressing, our utility has trimmed every bit of what I'd call discretionary spending we can. We have laid off contractors or doing more in-house. We aren't traveling. We're not replacing vehicles. Time and time again, we've trimmed $7 million worth of capital projects that we can defer to a future date. And those are the immediate things we can do right now. And that's all we can do, is we're all doing our part to buffer that. The next things, and we'll talk about council and council approval. There was previously a transfer from the electric utility to the general fund based on COVID times back in fiscal year 21. That money has been held by the city in the general fund, and now is a time to potentially, or to transfer that back to the, and was approved by council on Tuesday night. And that's a big buffer, right, to bring that back, because there was an opportunity with those funds available. Also, the dividend transfer, what I'll call the electric cash transfer to the general fund. Now that we're at restricted cash flows and we are challenged in cash hemorrhaging as we pay for this cost that we had in January, Now is a time to defer or suspend those payments, which was approved by council. That'll help us get right, and everybody doing their share across our city, across our utility, all for our customers right now in the extreme short term. And then I'll talk the strategic from there as well.
I mean, it's an all hands on deck moment.
Absolutely.
And I think, Hank, when we first sat down, you and I and City Manager Mays, and discussed what was going on, I mean, you guys, obviously, I want to put this in context for folks. My first question is how did we not see this coming, right? Why wasn't somebody rattling our case saying, guys, we're going to be in big trouble if we don't react with PCAs earlier or higher amounts, et cetera? And that, it took me a while to get to that point to understand, okay, there may have been nothing we could have done, because simply the circumstances that arose and when they arose really forced our hand. And it was hard to project. That's it. You can't project $32.97. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
No.
It's historical.
Even the leaders in our energy sector, our gas sector that are here locally, the ones I've talked to have said, we would have never expected that to happen.
So whether we reacted, if we'd had a crystal ball and said, hey, it's going to be way worse than we think it's going to be, because we knew costs were going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we would have reacted then or reacted now, essentially we'd be coming out to the same outcome. We have to meet our minimum reserve level. That has to be maintained.
Yes, sir.
We can't go below that. We don't want to go below that. It's dangerous to live in that area. Historically, we've been way above that.
We have.
And over the past 4 years, 5 years, I know we've invested quite a bit of money into our infrastructure and replacement of old assets, things that needed to be done.
Absolutely.
But then in 2021, we had it sent a turbine in to be repaired and have it sent back. And because of supply chain issues, we never could get the turbine back.
We could not.
And we essentially had to buy a turbine.
Mm-hmm.
And that cost us, you know, $17.5 million roughly, which we had not planned to spend.
Yeah, that happened early in 2022, absolutely.
And then you get Sandwich Generating Station closing, which we anticipated, and we thought maybe there'd be a 10% uptick in costs associated with that. It's been way worse. You know, costs each month have been double up to three times as much.
Double for energy and three times for gas.
And then we hit what happened, of course, in January. And now in February, we're at $11.90. But here again, this is my problem, Hank. You know, when Santa Ana Generating Station had to have a unit go down for maintenance, we had natural gas that could, you know, pick up the load.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. We don't have that, you know, dual ability to shut down one and ramp up the other. We're ramping up the one and it's going. And if anything happens to that supply, or if the West Coast determines that the price needs to be higher, all of us are going to be paying extra for that.
That's correct.
We no longer control our destiny the way that we used to.
We're
working on that.
Yeah, not with our current format and our current gas supply structure that's worked well for us for years.
So refresh us. You've been here before. We've talked about where strategically we're going. What is it exactly we're looking to do to help bring in better control over our generation assets?
Absolutely. And so better control we see, and from our integrated resource plan, and I'll talk long term, we see that we need to be less exposed to the market. And that's coming to fruition today, which means we need to build additional generation resources, control our own destiny as a utility and as a community, and buffer how much we're buying from the market. And so that integrated resource plan has us building 18 megawatts of recip engines, which the bids are in purchasing headed to the street, if not on the street right now. I think it was supposed to go on the street this week. At the same time, we have bond financing approved, and I'm looking for options for the state to help us out, just like they helped PNM to finance that project to help us just as a coal-affected community, just like they helped PNM. So that's one portion of that. The next is to build a combined cycle plant. And you'd say, wait a minute, you just talked about gas. The difference with that is to build for those new generations a very long-term agreement and get some what I'd call hedging that will buffer that gas for a long term. And many people in the industry I talk to, and again, we got to see it to believe it, is that gas will trend down this spring. And based on our assumptions we used for the PCA adjustment for 6 cents, if we see any of those gas prices come in under what we forecasted for that, the minute that we see that that's stable, again, we've seen a lot of volatility. Once we know that's stable, then we can lower that PCA. So long term, we've got to build more. We got to build our recip engines, look at our combined cycle plant. Look at that combined cycle plant compared to purchase power pricing, either from other entities that are building generation. either from ourselves building it ourselves, which we are looking and we have a levelized cost of energy we can benchmark against other utilities for, or directly just go out and purchase that on the market. So we're looking at all those three options right now. And then the third leg of that is to build some solar, and some solar will help us at the right scale and buffered with us having some dispatchable resources. That's what we see long-term in terms of gen resources. But then we roll back to purchase power. And so purchase power in the short term, we have a bid on the street to go for as long as 5 or 10 years to get long-term purchase power agreements. We'll have a bid back by the end of February. That pricing we see will give us a bellwether of two things. One, what is the summer looking like for pricing? And we've already seen that availability is there, but pricing could be high for power in the summer months. And the second is, what does that look like long-term compared to building that combined cycle plant? So we'll know that by the end of this month. The other thing I think I've mentioned, Mayor, is the way we buy power to match our load for any given day, right? You get up in the morning, people get up for their coffee, people work in the evening time, our load peaks, and then it goes back down, or late in the evening as people go to bed. We call that our profile or our shape. So we generate our own, we buy power, then we buy day-ahead power, and then every hour of every day we buy real-time power to match the market, and that's called real-time. And so we're actually looking, we're not part of some consortiums, but there is a thing called the Energy Imbalance Market that buys power just like that, and we're completing a study that will also be done by the end of this month, should we join a market like that. Now, you don't join a market overnight because there's all kinds of requirements that go with it. For a little municipality, that'll be some capital costs and how we structure our organization. But if the opportunity looks right, we'll do that. And so those are the things we're looking at short term for the midterm, which is, what can we do on gas pricing? What can we do with our agreements? What's our long term? What is a PPA options we're looking at right now look like? Should we join an energy imbalance market? Those are all things we can do right now. And then those play into the long term for what we build ourselves compared to what we buy.
That's a lot of moving pieces in that. And a lot of what eases my mind a little bit, Hank, is the fact that there's some light at the end of the tunnel. It's not here right now, but we can see that it's coming up. There's going to be generation that's going to be available, and it's going to hopefully ease some of this pressure. But there will be pressure, and prices will be high. And that's why we have to make this PCA adjustment now, is to address that immediate concern with the hopes that we can see that kind of level out as things go on. Now, I will say, historically, we have maintained one of the lowest electrical rates in the region. And I believe even with this PCA, we still stand maybe mid-ground. I mean,
we're probably a little on the high end right now with the PCA of 6 that we have. But immediately once we drop that off, when that PCA is in the 3s where it was right now before the 3297, we were right in the middle ground or to the low end of mid ground. Okay. But that's going to come back as quick as possible. We're just reacting honestly at this minute to that gas and that energy pricing for the month of January. And anything we do as well, Mayor, at the state level or the federal level for funding, you know, we have $23 million of assets at San Juan Plant that were undepreciated. If we were to get that recovery at the state level the same way that PNM did and allow that to come into our rate or into our cash base, that immediately would drop prices for our customer.
Well, it would leave us having to pay for that new generation if we can get that in that mix.
Absolutely.
Now. And then people need to know, we've made a concerted effort with our state delegation, the governor's office, our federal delegation, and you know, pursuing any additional funds that could be associated with us replacing generation and leveling out our rates. So that will definitely go to that and to no other source. That's frankly what we want to keep pushing on the folks, is anything that we're getting from state and feds is going to go directly back to the ratepayers, not anywhere else.
Absolutely.
Important to keep all that in mind. Well, I think, you know, in tough times call for tough people to step up, Hank. I think you're doing a great job. Obviously, I was distraught, you know, last week when we were seeing what was going on, and I just appreciate the work that you're doing, the work that Mr. Mays puts in, and I appreciate our Public Utility Commission, who is kind of our advisory board. They get the full, you know, the same types of presentations that the council gets.
Yes.
Most of the time before we get to see it, and we appreciate the work that they're doing in service to their community. And I've had phone calls with some of those individuals who've basically all said, look, we really have no other options. This is where we had to go. We didn't want to have to be here. But there's a lot of these things that are outside of our area of control.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to focus on what we can control. It is going to cost us more, hopefully for the short term and not the long term, but we live in a new world today, and it's going to be challenging times. Before we go, Hank, I definitely want to give everybody a little bit of a lesson, if you don't mind.
Of course.
We talk about megawatt hours,
mm-hmm.
and you know it cost us $45 per megawatt hour to produce coal-fired energy out at San Juan Generating Station. This last month at Bluffview, it was $300 per megawatt hour. What is a megawatt hour?
So a megawatt hour is a volume, right? So 1 megawatt hour is 1,000 kilowatt hours. So even to bring that more to lay terms is take the average four-person household in our community and have two of those households and all the energy they conserve for a month. Their heaters, their dishwashers, their air conditioners, everything that goes into that. And 1 megawatt hour approximately can provide two households for their entire month of energy. And so hopefully that gives you a frame of reference.
So one megawatt hour for two homes for an entire month.
For an entire month.
Shifts.
Right.
Okay.
Now, if you had a really, really big house and a hot tub and heaters, it would probably be around one home, right? But the average customer, just like I talked in our system and what's on the slides there, is 645 kilowatt hours. So almost double that is around 1,200. It's around 1,000, right? So
okay.
An average customer in our community is 645 kilowatt hours a month, or that's 0.645 megawatt hours.
Okay.
So that's why
it gives us some a measurement to kind of context, visual context to put it in. So
mm-hmm.
for our community, so we talked today. Today we're going to use 116 megawatt hours of power.
Today we would use today's peak load. Any given hour of today, the highest we're going to get in 1 hour is we're going to need 116 megawatts for that 1 hour.
Okay.
But then you spread out over 24 hours of time, and then you're talking, probably 2,500 megawatt hours for the entire day.
Powering about 45,000 meters.
45,000 meters.
Over 1,700 square miles.
In that day, every day.
That's a big area.
It is.
Okay. So that's good. That's good context to keep that in, because I know when I talk about it with folks, it's, you know, I can say it out loud, and I just hope nobody actually asks me, what does megawatt hour, what does it mean?
Yeah.
So good context there. And that's what we're working to replace. You know, we had 43 megawatts out at San Juan Generating Station. The plan you just laid out gets us to that point and beyond to look at the long-term future components. I am interested in the solar component. We've had conversations in the past about nuclear. Well, actually, I shouldn't even say that. More frequent recently conversations now that nuclear is starting to take a turn, I think, for the better in this country.
NRC just recently permitted the first small modular reactor.
And I don't know if we can talk anything about any of those projects that are going on out there, but as I understand, the costs per megawatt hour for those are still very high. It would be, mm-hmm. right now that wouldn't be something we could possibly look into. But long term, mm-hmm. there's always potential once new generation hits the market, and we're looking at those things as they come.
And then you got to look at all the benefits that nuclear has that go with it. Zero carbon or low carbon footprint, depending on how you define it. And the ability to actually ramp them up and down if you need to.
Right.
But because of their high capital costs, you really want to run them. The more you run them, the less the costs are for the megawatts from them.
Hank, anything else you want to add to this edition of the Mayor's Table?
I guess, Mayor, I would ask that you invite me back as soon as I possibly can when that PCA goes down.
Just have you like every month.
I would hope for that. Yes, sir.
You're playing a pretty critical role in everybody's lives in our area, Hank, and I don't want to put any undue pressure on you. I think you had all this very well, and I know it's not easy, so I certainly appreciate all the work that you do. If people need more information on this, Is there a, do we have anything set up on the website where they can go and
Absolutely.
Learn more about it?
Mm-hmm. We do have the posting on the website, but also go onto our website and actually go look at what we call our integrated resource plan. That'll tell you the story about what we're building compared to what we're buying. So take that opportunity to take a look at that. We'll update this often as we go through the process. Also, the city manager report tells what our gas pricing, or not what our gas pricing, what our energy pricing is on any given month. And you'll see a lot of updates. We don't do this lightly. And frankly, I was born and raised here, Mayor, just like you were. And so it hits
hard. I wasn't born here, Hank, but I was adopted here.
Well, I was born in Durango, but I've lived here my whole life. I'm a local. I would call
myself.
Came
here when I was 15. I figure that's long enough.
That's
30 years I've been here.
We're embedded in this Absolutely. Community. So we don't do this lightly.
No.
It's nothing we wanted to do, and we did everything we could with our cash reserves to get to here, but we have no choice. And we're doing everything we can to lower it as quick as possible.
Well, thank you and your team, and from myself, certainly, and I'm sure the council as well. As well as you know, our community in general. It feels great to live in a place where people are dedicated to keeping the lights on and trying to keep it as low cost as possible, and that's kind of our mission. Affordability, reliability, dependability, durability. I mean, that's where we're trying to live, and that's very meaningful, I think, to folks. I mean, their pocketbook matters to us because it's our pocketbooks too.
Absolutely.
Well, and thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Mayor's Table, the Power Editions. And we'll just run them all year long. There'll be a power edition every other month. This information is important. It's important for not just Farmington itself, but the broader regional community that is served by our electric utility, but also the other electric utilities around us. Everybody needs to know what's going on in these markets, and I think this gives us a great window to do that. So please make sure that you're sharing these episodes with your friends, your family, on all your social networks. You can hear us right now on Spotify, on Podbean. We're on the City of Farmington's website, but it's also going out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and all those great platforms. So we are trying to reach as many people as we can. Stick around. Next episode, we're going to have Mike Lewis, our airport manager. We're going to be talking about commercial air service to Four Corners Regional Airport, another really important topic on people's minds. So it'll be a good episode. So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, stay warm out there in this winter weather. And we'll see you here next time on the Mayor's Table.